I am at the point to die, and what profit shall his birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word of the church, said, the word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for just another day. Thank God for giving honor to Pastor and just the First Lady in their absence, giving honor to my wife who just stepped out. Ministers, elders, saints of God, everyone in their respective places, I say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Man, so going through this, you know, I read ahead, and I read some notes and everything. And then I looked, and I was just checking a couple things out. And a few things came to me just real quick. The one, and in fact, this came to me today, and it put it in perspective. If you think the church beforehand, before us, even if you consider traveling and things of that nature, how even back in the Bible days, you know, how long it took them to move from point A to point B, where now we can just jump on a plane, we can jump on a train, we can even drive, you know, 18 hours of being in Atlanta or something. So times are so much different now. But even as traveling and things are different, also technology and information that we can receive is much different. So I was thinking about the scripture today when I came back home and I was studying even before coming here. A kid was in class today, and actually this was yesterday, but I was thinking about the scripture again today. And he was in class yesterday, and he was acting like a knucklehead. And I said to the kid's parent, I said, I refuse to lower his standards, you know, because other guys in the classroom respond a certain way. So this kid wants to lay on the floor and try and do his work on the floor and things. And I'm like, no, you're too old for that. In your school, you can't do that. I'm trying to prepare you to get back to, you know, your school. I'm not going to lower the standards for you because this might be something some of the other kids in the class may do. And I might not even redirect them as strong. And he'll say to me, well, Mr. Simon, why don't you let me do, and why are you so hard on me in this, that, and third? And then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, what best way to answer this question? And then I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to tell you like the Bible says. I said, to where much is given, to whom much is given, much is required. So when I was looking into this, and I'm thinking of the words that Pastor keeps giving us concerning how important it is to do word search and things of that nature, I started thinking concerning us, you know, and I started thinking about the saints that went on before us. I'm like, well, the thought came to me, well, they were saved, and, you know, they made it in, and, you know, and then I applied this concept to the other scripture that talks about study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I can't think, when that was coming to me, thinking, so if you rightly divide the word of truth, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. And I'm trying to figure out, have we heard pastors say that? Is that embedded in me, or has pastor said we can wrongly? Because I'm like, man, I'm starting to sound like pastor. You know what I'm saying? But then coming back to this full circle, number one, let's go back to that scripture. Studying to show thyself approved unto God, right? That scripture is not to the elders. That scripture is not to the ministers or the bishops. That scripture is just simply to the saints of God, to the church. So it's not just for a pastor to study to show himself approved. approve. It's not for the elders, because I'm thinking, man, I have an easier job tonight than whoever comes up on Sunday. Because we're being tasked, you need to do some words, you know, and understand, because the scripture, we might read it one way, but if we don't understand the context in the Hebrew, right, then we can totally miss what the scripture is actually presenting. You know, so the scripture talks about studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we don't get it right, we can wrongly divide the word of truth. Amen. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Again, because to whom much is given, much is required. So I say all that to say, we might not be Bible scholars. We may not go to theology school, but we still have so much information available to us. If we go to study it, then we will put ourselves in that position to be able to better understand the Word of God. And also, just real one more thing I'm going to add is concerning this. So we have Bible study once a week on Wednesday evenings. And I'm just like, Lord, man, we're only in Genesis, the 25th chapter now. We're about to get to Genesis 26. Like, Lord, I hope you can keep pastoring with us until we get through the whole Bible. Because at this rate, right, we've been on Genesis 25. This is probably the third night. And one of the nights, in fact, so it'll be a month almost, because one of the nights we lost because we had the anniversary coming up. So I'm just like, Lord, I hope, and then that's when that hit me, like, but it's not just incumbent on pastor, it's incumbent on all of us, you know, because where much is given, we have so much information. Some things cost, you know what I mean? But if we can pay for this and that, we need to be able to invest. And I'm not preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to myself. Amen, and y'all are receiving this. So we're all in this together. Amen. Some things cost, so we can pay for certain things. We can pay to, you know, so we can better understand the Word of God. And as this happens, it really, the scripture continues just, the Bible continues just to open up. Amen. So we're just going to go on and get right into the notes. Amen. I hope I didn't scare anyone away with that beginning. Amen. So in Genesis 25th chapter, verses 27. Scripture says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Amen. The pastor spoke on that into last week, and he was talking about that means he was focused more on the things of the world. Amen. And it says, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And he explained to us that means Jacob was more about the things of God and studying and, you know, trying to find the mind of Christ as opposed to being focused on things of the world. Amen. So this verse tells us that Esau and Jacob were complete opposites. This confirms what the Lord had already told Rebekah in Genesis, the 25th chapter, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The text itself tells us all we need to know concerning the two young men, the differences between them. One was focused on things of the world, the other was focused on things of God. Amen. The Hebrew for cunning is yad, which denotes intimate knowledge, meaning that Esau was devoted to the practice. What practice? The practice of hunting. He was cunning. He was a hunter. He seems to have been a practical man's man. It suggests that Esau is a type of the world, as he viewed things from a practical and intellectual viewpoint instead of a spiritual one, as we will see in Jacob. Amen? Matthew 13, chapter, verses 37 and 38. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Jacob, on the other hand, was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Plain man is the Hebrew word tam, which means perfect, complete, wholesome, moral, innocent, etc. This sets Jacob apart, for there is no reference made of Esau's moral character, either positive or negative. This also flies in the face of the accusations of so many Christian scholars who claim that Jacob was a deceiver at heart. The Hebrew text firmly states otherwise. It tells us that Jacob was blameless in the eyes of God. But Tom has dual meaning in the Hebrew. It can also mean foolish. The context of the verse, and this is the thing with word studies and starting to understand, some things have dual meanings, but the context of the verse, amen, it's going to tell us, it's going to give us what the meaning should be applicable for, you know, that particular word at that particular time. Amen. So the context of the verse will tell us if the person is perfect, complete, and blameless, or if the person is foolish. Tom means that the person is insufficient or lacking to accomplish a desired task on their own. Tom, that is insufficient, but has dependency on God to help them where they can't help themselves, will be perfect, complete, or blameless. Tom, that is insufficient, but does not rely or depend on God to help them, is foolish. So the context of the text must define whether Tom is in a good way or a foolish way. Amen. Dwelling in tents also tell us some additional critical spiritual information about Jacob. Tents is the Hebrew word ohel, which has a much deeper spiritual meaning than just dwelling in the tent all the time. So if we look at that and we're just reading it in the natural sense and we're not defining, you know, what these words mean, we're going to read that, I'm going to read that, and I'm just going to totally go right by it. It doesn't mean anything to me without understanding the deepness of it. Amen. Ohel is the same Hebrew word for the tent of meeting and tabernacle. Amen? Which is where God met with or appeared to Moses and the children of Israel. So if we're just looking at it as he just dwelled in tents, you know what it kind of reminds me of? He was a house individual where the other Esau was a field individual. You know what I mean? But that's how I read it initially. He had a cakewalk, and the other was more a man's man, as I said, right? A brute, you know? And if I'm just reading it in the natural sense, I want to be the brute, you know? I want to be the hunter, you know? But that's why we need to not see things just for what the surface is. But this really should point out the importance of us just trying to understand the scriptures better so we can rightly divide the word of truth, amen? So word study tells us that Jacob spent a good deal of his time in the presence of God in order to fulfill God's calling for him. Amen. Remember that Jacob couldn't physically keep Esau from having the birthright of the firstborn. Therefore, he needed to continuously inquire of God as to how the birthright of the firstborn would be transferred to him from Esau. I had a big problem with that last week, but after going through it, maybe by the end, we will understand it better and understand that it really was divine intervention as opposed, because before it just didn't seem fair. But when you start to understand Esau and how the Edomites came out of Esau and God hated the Edomites, then you start to realize it's a much bigger spiritual significance with what's going on. We will see that this was an issue that greatly concerned Jacob as we continue in our study of Genesis 25. Okay? Verses 28. Amen. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You will miss the message that this verse is trying to convey if you read this verse without using the proper biblical application and techniques for studying the scripture. Amen. The first thing that stands out is that the scripture states that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. It appears that the way to Isaac's heart, his core being, was through his stomach. Amen? But the verse simply says that Rebekah loved Jacob, but doesn't give us a reason as to why. It's important for us to understand that the reason has already been previously given, when the reason why is absent from the text. With that being said, we need to refer back to Genesis 25, verses 23. Amen. And I felt good last week when Pastor was saying, when he asked us the question, I think it was last week, that he asked us a question, why did the text not say why Rebekah loved, you know, Isaac? Amen. And I'm sorry, Jacob, I'm sorry. And at that point, I sat there in my seat, and it occurred to me, and I felt good, I'm like, that because Rebekah already was given information through prophecy by God, amen, and that is the why. That's why she preferred him, because she already knew. God already told her that the younger was going to rule the older, the weaker was going to be the stronger. You know, so I kind of felt that, but I didn't want to stick my hand up because Pastor has a way of making you feel some sort of way when you stick your hand up sometimes, but he's getting better. Amen? And then he came through and I'm like, yes, I'm starting to get it. And then you realize you're a real nothing. Amen? Genesis 25, 23, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. This verse tells us that Rebekah loved Jacob because the Lord would someday elevate him to the same spiritual status of his father, Isaac. Remember that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Esau, as he pointed out. Rebekah's love was not an emotional one, but a commitment to fulfilling the prophecy that the Lord had given her, that Jacob would be stronger and that Esau would someday serve Jacob. We can see that Rebekah had spiritual insight and that the father appeared to be blind to the higher purpose that God has in mind for Jacob. Amen? All this alludes to the outworking of God's plan to use the foolish and weak things of the world to shame those considered to be wise and strong. That's powerful right there. Over and over again in the scriptures, he continues to use the simplicity, things simple, people that we would consider simple, amen, to confirm his word and his power, amen, where if we look at things in the natural sense, amen, we would have figured it out totally differently. Amen. Why did God use him? Why did God use her and not him or her? Amen. And even on a different level, you know, we can take comfort in the fact that God has like full control, that we can rest assured in God. That he says, if you take care of me, if you take care of your business, I'm going to take care of you. If you love me Like, you're supposed to love me. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to have to worry where your money is coming from to pay the bills. You're not going to worry, you know, for this or that. You're not even going to have to worry for health because I got you. If you love me the way you're supposed to, and it's like so simple. Hold on, all I have to do is just chase after or follow after God with all my heart, and everything's going to fall in line. It makes no sense. You know, all I have to do is just be faithful and fall in line, and everything's going to be okay. I don't have to worry. What does that mean? I'm used to worrying. You know, before we got saved, you had to worry about this, you had to worry about, and now you're just telling me if I commit my ways unto you, that I'm going to be good? Just take the simple things. Amen. Right? He spit on the sand and had put it on a blind eye. What sense does that make? None, right? He takes the simple things. Go wash. Go wash 7 times. Go baptize in Jesus' name. Fill with the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you go down, when you come back up, your sins are going to be washed away. You're going to be a new creature. Amen. You're going to be white as snow. What? I take a shower every day with soap. You're telling me if I go down in the name of Jesus, I'm going to come back up white as snow? Are you kidding me? What sense does that make? But he takes the simple things. Amen. Simple things. Amen. And just the simple things. And the wise of this world can't touch you. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Amen. Verses 25 to 31. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That's our God. Woo! And the weakness of God, thank you, Lord, is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Thank you, Lord. We might feel a little sort of way because we were called. So are you saying we're not mighty? Oh, that doesn't make a difference because we're mighty through God. Amen? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the world to confound, things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, not in self. Amen. Glory in the Lord, not in my power, not in my might, but glory in the Lord, not in my riches, not in my fame, but glory in the Lord. That's why he said, amen, we must decrease, he must increase. It's not about us, it's about God. Not what we can do, but what he can do, what we can do through him. Amen. That's why through justice situation, I said at the end of the day, it wasn't even about justice, it was simply about God getting the glory. Not about us, but about what we can do through him. Amen. We know justice is an all-star, but really God is the all-star. Superstar. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis 25, verse 29. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Amen. And just doing a little study, and that faint, and actually it just says it in the scriptures, but if you look into the word studies and things, you find that faint right there, again, if the rest of the scripture didn't explain, because I think later on it says, in verses 31, he says, verse 32 maybe, he says, I'm near death, basically. Amen. But even if that scripture never run down, if we do our word search and things, we find that in verse 29, that faith that he's talking about is that he's near death. And that's what the word study gives us. Amen. Amen. So let's continue in Genesis 25:30. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. That's how you say it in the Hebrew, Edom. It's Edom. We call it Edom, Edomites, Edomay. Amen. It's the Edomites in Hebrew. Amen, amen, amen. And then I'm talking to my God. Amen. This is where the story takes on a very strange twist. Remember that Esau is accomplished and well skilled as a hunter in the world, but he returns home famished to the point of death because his worldly skills and wisdom has failed him. Amen? That's powerful. His worldly skills, what he was good at in the world, because he was focused on the world, now this is failing him. Now he's almost at the point of death. So he turns to the one who dwells in tents, or who has spent time with the Lord, for help. So the stronger, amen, in man's eyes now turns to the weaker, amen, because it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. The fields, the world, could no longer satisfy Esau because he's at the point of death now. So he sought help from the sower of seeds, who is the Lord, through Jacob, to help him in his insufficiency. Amen. Again, Tom, perfect and blameless with God's help, foolish and confounded without God's help. So he turns to, we understand the meaning of Tom in this passage now. Amen. This is with God's help. He needs to turn to the Lord for help. But he did that through going through Jacob. Amen. Amen. And if, again, if we don't understand it in the spiritual and the word search, we just read this totally kind of as he went for porridge. He needed porridge, amen, to strengthen his body. We don't see the spiritual significance behind everything that's going on. So faith in this verse is the Hebrew word ayef, which means, amen, famished to the point of dying. Amen. We will see this confirmed in verse 32, or even greater importance, of even greater importance than being faint to the point of death, is that Esau is renamed Edom, or Edom. Amen. Red father of the Edomites, whom God hated. Amen. So his name was changed at that point. Why? Because the birthright, with the birthright comes the blessing. He sold, he gave up the blessing, amen, for food, for his natural body. And the amazing thing that we'll later see, amen, and not to jump ahead, is when Isaac came to the point of death, he forsook his natural body for the spiritual things. So that's going to be the powerful thing that we're going to, one of the powerful things that we're going to discover, or should I say, maybe even one of the more powerful things we're going to discover. And that is, so when we get to that point, who, where do we turn to? What do we give up? Amen. For the cause of Christ. Amen. Or what do we give up to save ourselves? Amen. Amen. We see Esau's name was changed to Edom or Edom because he gave up his birthright. Amen. He gave this up because he was dying. He said, I prefer this. He said later on in the scriptures, he said, what good is my birthright if I'm not here? Totally opposite, amen, of what his brother did. He said, it's not about amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Where are we now? Okay. Amen. Obadiah. I like that name, Jasmine. Obadiah. Amen. She wanted to name one of our sons Obadiah.
Is that
right? Amen. That's an inside joke. Obadiah. chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard of a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Verse 2, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring thee down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Amen. The Lord despised, he hated the Edomites. Amen. Genesis 25, verses 31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. This is divine intervention. Amen. Again, if we look at it the wrong way, we see it as, wow, that's in our terminology today, wow, that's foul. How on earth, his brother about to die and he's worried about a birthright. Amen. But there's a huge spiritual significance. Amen. Through conjecture, we can assume that Rebekah had told Jacob of the Lord's purpose for him. From the perspective of God's purpose, this is a clear statement of sale made on a specific day. Amen. Sell me this day. Amen. This day, the urgency. Amen. And this day. Amen. It shows an urgency right now, this day. Amen. I'm trying to think of another scripture. But this day, there's an urgency at that point. Amen. In much the same way. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. It's a right now, it's an urgency thing. You have to, I like that one. I was thinking of something else. But there's so many scriptures that this day, I think if we miss it, we don't understand that there's an urgency in that. But choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve them this day. Make your callings and your election short. Choose ye this day. Make a stand right now. What side are you on? Amen. Amen. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Amen. There's an urgency in that. Amen. So in much the same way that the purchase of the cave at Machpelah was clearly stated, the possession of the birthright of Isaac's household is now recorded for posterity. The birthright is the status given to the firstborn in a double share of the estate. Let's look at Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, verses 15 through 17. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So although he was hated, he was the firstborn. So still the double of the estate. That right, amen, that birthright still goes to the firstborn. That's the importance of the firstborn. Amen. So for him to sell, that is for him to sell his inheritance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It denotes authority over the household, which is subject only to the male patriarch and only until his death, at which time it denotes complete authority over the household. With the birthright comes the right of the blessing of the firstborn, which is to be given prior to the passing on of the patriarch. Additionally, in this case, it also carries the responsibility of carrying on the calling of God and the establishment of his chosen people in a redemptive relationship to God. Amen. Genesis 25th chapter, verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Amen? Esau's brash language, just his disdain, his disrespect for that, and the lack of spiritual concern for something as sacred and binding as his birthright illuminates his true character. He was about the things of the world, not about spirituality, not the things of God. Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." This lets us know that he was more than just weary or faint. Let's take a moment to compare Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 21, to see how Jacob conducted himself when he was at the point to die. This is what we are referencing. Hebrews 11, 21 reads, "By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." You see the difference right there? You can read the full account of this verse in Genesis 48, chapter, verses 5 to 22. Read it and you will see that Jacob gave the blessings of the firstborn to Ephraim, the younger, instead of to Manasseh, the older. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave the blessings of the inheritance to the younger son instead of the firstborn. But you see the importance of when Jacob was about to die, when he was at the point of death, he was concerned about the spiritual things, where Esau was concerned about his life and saving it. Amen? Amen. Verses 33. "And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swear unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob." Not only did Esau offer the birthright as payment, he also took an oath, confirming the sale. This is the testimony of two witnesses, which remains a requirement of the scriptures to this day. Amen? Amen. Jacob has become the rightful heir of Isaac's physical possessions and Abraham's spiritual calling. There is no deception here. Jacob's actions are not in the least sinful. He seems to be motivated by a deeper understanding of the sacred role that the birthright will play in his life. Amen. So when God has given you something, you know, if he's shown you his will, you know, sometimes others around you, maybe even family, might not understand that deeper thing. Amen. But you have to search and run after God and his will and put these things more important than things of the world. Amen. Jacob honored and respected the blessing and spiritual heritage of the birthright, whereas it has already been established that Esau despised this. Amen. Genesis 25, verse 34. "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Moses waited to identify the stew until after the transaction had taken place in order to emphasize the incredible disregard that Esau had for the sacred nature of his birthright. Esau has eaten and risen, satisfied with food and with what he has done. He's good now. Amen? Even after enjoying the meal, he is said to have despised his birthright. After he's good, he still despised his birthright, which means that he continued to despise it. Amen. In doing so, Esau shows contempt not only for the physical wealth of his father's house, but also for the spiritual mission that the birthright carries. So it's bigger than just selling a birthright. This is something about the spiritual. It's about the spiritual significance. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a mission with that. The writer of the book of Hebrews leaves us and no doubt as to the character of Esau. Amen. Hebrews 12, the 16th verse. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Amen. Say no more. Amen. So when you get to the end of the chapter and you understand, then I guess I spoke in haste last week with my confusion as to just how it seemed deceitful. But when you really understand it, you understand that's why God had a disdain, you know, for Esau and for, because he knew that he was going to sell his birthright. He knew that, you know, that the things that are spiritual were not going to be of importance to Esau, but things of the world. Amen. And so when you understand it from that perspective, if you don't stop too early, you read through and you get the understanding, then you understand that what everything that transpired was divine intervention. Amen. And it goes back to you know, the promise that God made in the spiritual vision and maybe prophecy that God gave to Rebecca concerning her two sons, and that's why she preferred, she loved, amen, Isaac, amen. So, that being said, normally pastor opens it up for questions. I'm not gonna open it up for questions, but I do open it up for other insight. Amen. Yes, sir. And other comments. You know, so testing one, two. So I like to say, especially when I'm up here on Wednesday evening, we learn from each other, we glean from each other. Amen. And I'm careful not to and encouraged not to let's not go, you know, too deep where, you know, we can mix others, but let's, we can share right now together. Praise the Lord, Elder Man.
Praise the Lord. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you. Blessed we were listening to Pastor last week, and there's so much you can apply to this,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Even as saints, we have to be careful. Because of what we have, if we follow after the ways of the world, we're despising our salvation. We're despising what God has given us spiritually. And the more he, Ella, teaches on this, and then you just bring it out even more tonight, it amazes me, because for years, because of tradition, people have been taught that Esau is a deceiver.
Yes.
I mean, Jacob is a deceiver.
Yes.
And it was ordained of God that he was going to be the head.
Yes.
It was ordained of God. See, in God's foreknowledge, he knew Esau despised what he had.
Yes, sir.
Esau was a person of the world.
Yes.
And it's just so enlightening, you know?
Amen.
We don't realize how blessed we are to have these Bible studies, and the saints don't realize what they're missing out on.
Amen.
I mean, this is some good meat. Throw a little hot sauce on it. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Everything you said, yes. Yes, so when we're preferring the world, we're giving up our maybe spiritual place, you know, and what God has for us. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
I do love the Bible study. And even the people that know not the word,
yes. Yes. Yes.
The word of the Lord is always calling back to you.
Yes, sir.
Use
that mic, because that's use that mic. That's some good stuff. Yes, sir. Yeah, no, when you're speaking, speak into it. No, it works. You just have it away, you have it away from you. But quote that again. The scripture says again.
Love not the world, the things of the world. And it may love the world, but don't call it back in. That's
back. And that's so fitting, because Esau loved the world. Amen. So the love of the Father was not in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Evangelist.
Rebecca loved Jacob. And I was just thinking that also that, you know, even though it didn't state that she loved Esau, but as a mother, you know, you're going to love your children.
Yes.
And I believe that Rebecca did love Esau.
Yeah.
But that with Jacob, you know, because God has spoken to her, has to, is divine will. For his life, you know, just like with us and our children, if we have our children, then you know, you see some potential as a child who can do a lot more, or a child who God has a call on their life. You're going to face as a child, you know, to develop more into what God wants the child to be.
Yes.
And I was just thinking about that as the one with Rebecca and Jacob, how